Hey everyone, we're going to look at Luke chapter 6, when Jesus calls the 12 apostles. So we're going to start in verse 12. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoasts of Tyre and Sidon, who came near to him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him, and he healed them all. So a couple things about this scene are interesting. One, notice that Luke says he went to the mountain. He doesn't specify which mountain. It's as if the mountain or mountains in the Gospels are symbolic of something. Well, what are they symbolic of? Well, if you think through Scripture of mountains and the many significant mountains, I think there's a sense in which they all merge as a theme. So, for example, the mountain upon which Abraham offers Isaac, which is Mount Moriah in the Holy Land. And then, of course, Mount Sinai. What do all the mountains have in common? I think they have to do with drawing near to the throne of God, drawing near to God's presence. I would compare them to the tabernacle and the temple with their staged entry into God's presence. So in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus is on a mountain, we should try to pay attention to see if that moment on the mountain is evoking these other mountains in Scripture. And I think that is definitely the case here with this mountain. Jesus goes and he spends all night in prayer because he's getting ready to make a significant decision. And that decision is the call of these 12 disciples. But I think we should see him spending the entirety of the night in prayer with his Father and intimacy with his Father over the deliberate choice of these 12. So he had all this time and all this prayer to consider who he would call. And I think that's significant. None of them are called by accident. They're each called with deliberation. And one calling in particular along those lines is worth noting because, of course, he calls Judas Iscariot, who it says here in the text would betray him, and I think we could assume would betray him at this point. And I think this teaches volumes about Jesus' teaching itself. Remember, Jesus will say, he will teach the disciples, love your enemies. And we have in his calling and in his patient teaching of Judas Iscariot a lived example of what he's taught. He shows us there in the love that he extends toward Judas over the course of some 3 years of ministry, of what it means to love our enemies. And so the Lord himself sets a very high example of how to love our enemies, and he shows us how to do so in this constant extension of love to Judas, knowing from the beginning what he would do. It's always worth noticing as well that the lists of disciples are similar, but there are always four named first, almost all the time, not always in the same order, but Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they are almost always, they are always listed first. Again, not in that order. Peter is often the one who is named first. And it's unique here in the Gospel of Luke that they are called apostles. Setting them apart from the rest of the large crowd of followers that Jesus has as the ones that he chooses to send, as the ones that he chooses to be his special emissaries. And all of this, so this theme of we're at Sinai, Jesus spends all night in prayer, it should remind us of Moses going up and spending time, 40 days in prayer with God, coming down, organizing and calling the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus is forming a new Israel. This is a new creation. This is new. Remember in the prior passages in chapter 5, Jesus has stressed the newness of what's going on with his image of putting new wine into new wineskins and new garments for a wedding feast. So I think all of this should suggest to us it's a symbol of new creation, of the purposes of Israel coming to a culmination in Jesus. It's a symbol of hope. And I think if Sinai is in the background, I think we should also see this as a symbol or as speaking of God's mercy. Because if you'll remember, when Moses came down from the mountain on one significant occasion, he came down to rebellion. He came down to the golden calf and to Israel committing adultery, worshiping an idol. And so I think this also speaks of God's mercy on that occasion. You'll remember in Exodus chapter 34, it's one of the most important statements of God's character in the entirety of the Old Testament. And there he appears before Moses and he declares his name. Exodus 34, 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Jesus is here as the fulfillment. He is a new Moses coming to bring to fulfillment all of the promises and declarations of the character of God that we see in the Old Testament. And indeed, remember when Moses came down from the mountain and caused the Levites to go through the camp and kill all the instigators of the rebellion? I think we can map that onto Jesus coming down from the mountain and driving out demons, who are those who are instigating rebellion from God and bringing the opposite of thriving on the people of God. So may we know Jesus in his life of prayer. May we follow him in his life of prayer, where significant decisions in our lives come out of much discussion, but hopefully out of much prayer. And may we know the mercy that we see in the Old Testament prefigured, fulfilled in Jesus, to bring about new creation. Jesus comes to make all things new, and may he make all things new in our lives. Amen.